Repairing harm, ages 5 to 10. Now is the right time. Age 9. As a parent or someone in a parenting role, you play an important role in your child's success. There are intentional ways to grow a healthy parent-child relationship. Teaching your child to repair harm is an excellent opportunity. Your support in growing the skill of repairing harm can help your child develop social awareness, the ability to understand the perspectives of and empathize with others, including those from diverse backgrounds, cultures, and contexts. They'll also exercise responsible decision-making, or the ability to make caring and constructive choices about personal behavior and social interactions across diverse situations. Learning that their choices cause a reaction or outcome that can harm others or themselves. These skills grow your child's sense of responsibility while improving your relationship. Some parents and those in a parenting role feel that if they do not impose punishments, their child will not understand that their behavior is inappropriate. When a child is punished, they often feel scared, humiliated, and hurt. This overwhelming fear or hurt impacts their relationship with you while failing to teach them the appropriate constructive behavior and build a skill. Your child will likely miss the lesson you want to emphasize and feel unsafe. Punishment often leads to more poor choices. A vicious cycle begins in which a child feels bad about themselves and repeats the behaviors expected of a bad child. Parents and those in a parenting role need to learn to actively support their child in repairing harm to interrupt this cycle. Children ages 5 to 10 will naturally make mistakes, have accidents, and break rules. And when they do, they only consider their impulses and desires, and not how they might impact you or others. The prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain responsible for decision-making and reasoning, does not fully develop until your child is in their mid-20s, so it is natural for children to find it challenging to pause before acting. Children require support and follow-through from parents and those in a parenting role to make things better. They need to understand that they always have another chance to repair harm. This skill is developed over time and requires a lot of practice. Research confirms that part of the higher-order thinking skills children are in the process of developing involves consequential thinking or linking cause to effect. This directly impacts their school success and ability to take responsibility for their actions as they grow. Children need the guidance and support of caring adults to learn these skills. Guidance on repairing harm can be challenging for many parents and those in a parenting role. Instead of a quick, reflexive response like yelling, scolding, or punishing, repairing harm takes time, follow-through, and thoughtful consideration. It can also become the most powerful teaching opportunity for your child as they learn to take responsibility for their actions and begin to understand how their choices impact others. As you utilize these teachable moments, your relationship with your child will be enriched. The steps below include specific, practical strategies along with effective conversation starters. Why guidance for repairing harm? When your 5-year-old breaks their sister's toy, your 8-year-old hides their failed test and lies about it, or your 10-year-old verbally fights with a neighbor, these situations are opportunities to guide them in repairing harm. Today, in the short term, guidance for repairing harm can create a sense of confidence that you can help your child heal hurt relationships and make up for mistakes they've made. A greater understanding of the connection between your child's actions and their impact on themselves and others. Trust in each other that you have the competence to make things right after harm has been done. And a growing understanding of rules and expectations. Tomorrow, in the long term, guidance for repairing harm helps your child build skills in self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationships, and responsible decision-making. Learn independence and self-sufficiency. Build assertive communication to express needs and boundaries critical for keeping them safe and ready to deal with peer pressure. 5 steps for guiding your child to repair harm. This 5-step process helps you guide your child to build the skills necessary to repair harm in their relationships when they make poor choices or have accidents. The same process can also be used to address other parenting issues. Here is a tip. These steps are done best when you and your child are not tired or in a rush. Here is a tip. Intentional communication and a healthy parenting relationship support these steps. Step 1. Get your child thinking by getting their input. A child's behaviors are often influenced by their feelings. Feelings are spontaneous reactions to people, places, and experiences. Feelings are not right or wrong, but the behaviors your child chooses may be helpful or harmful in meeting their needs and supporting connections. Though they may act on a feeling in a moment that harms another either through words or actions, they likely won't consider the impact on others until the harm has already been done. You can help your child start understanding their feelings by asking open-ended questions. In gaining input, you can better understand why your child is behaving in a certain way. You can begin teaching your child how to understand their impulses and feelings, which will help them manage their behaviors. You can grow their self-control, self and social awareness, and problem-solving skills. Actions. Children ages 5 to 10 are still learning to understand their feelings, other people's feelings, and how their actions affect others. They will need your support to figure this out. When both you and your child are calm, reflect on your child's feelings so you can be prepared to help. Ask yourself, does my child have an unmet need? They might need someone to listen or give them attention, some alone time, or some help so they can be successful at something they are trying to do. You can ask them about how they are feeling. I noticed your face got red. When you said unkind things to your sister, were you frustrated? I saw your friend leave you at the playground to play with someone else. I wonder if you are feeling sad. After validating their feelings, you can also ask how they think others might be feeling. Your sister cried when you said those unkind words to her. How might she be feeling? When your friend didn't get to take their turn, how do you think they were feeling? When you said that to me, how do you think that made me feel? If your child is not receptive to thinking about how the other person feels, that likely means they do not feel heard. Once your child feels seen, heard, and validated, they are more likely to be able to consider the person they hurt. Use your best listening skills. Listen closely to what concerns your child without projecting your thoughts, concerns, and feelings. Explore the mind-body connection. In calmer moments with your child, ask, "How does your body feel now?" See how descriptively they can list their physical signs of well-being. Now ask, "How does your body feel when angry?" Every person's physical experience will be different. Find out how your child feels and make the connection between those symptoms and the usual feelings they are having. Here is a trap to avoid. Avoid letting the question turn into an accusation. Remember to stay calm and that the goal of the question is to help the child uncover feelings. Step 2. Teach new skills. The fundamental purpose of repairing harm is to grow the skill of taking responsibility through constructive action, such as healing hurt relationships and mending broken objects. Learning new skills and behaviors requires modeling, practice, support, and recognition. Learning how to understand your feelings and behaviors when your child misbehaves is a great way to start. It will help you understand what they are learning to do. You might ask yourself, do I get angry when they act in a certain way? How do I respond to my anger? How do I want my child to respond when they feel angry? Learning about your child's developmental milestones can help you have reasonable expectations for your child. 5-year-olds are working on understanding rules and routines. Consistency helps them feel stable. Sometimes they have to break rules or enforce them on others to internalize their newfound understanding. 6-year-olds may be more apt to question your rules. They thrive on encouragement. They can become critical of others, needing experience and encouragement with kindness and inclusion. 7-year-olds crave structure and may have difficulty with changes to the schedule. They may be moody and require reassurance from adults. 8-year-olds are more resilient when they make mistakes. The approval of their peers and teachers is significant. 9-year-olds can become easily frustrated. They may worry about peer approval and their appearance and interests. They may be tough on themselves when they make a mistake. 10-year-olds are developing a strong sense of right and wrong and fairness. They tend to be able to work through conflicts with friends more rapidly. Because they are keen to understand justice, they will also better understand the value when you guide them to repair harm. Teaching is different than just telling. It builds basic skills, grows problem-solving abilities, and prepares your child for success. Teaching also involves modeling and practicing the positive behaviors you want to see, promoting skills, and preventing problems. This is also an opportunity to establish meaningful, logical consequences when expectations are unmet. Here is a trap to avoid. It can be easy for parents or those in a parenting role to scold a child who has made a poor choice, inducing a feeling of shame. Instead, we want children to feel empowered to take steps toward making something better. Remember that even children are their own worst critics and may already have intense messages of failure generated in their self-talk. Calming down first will take the heat out of your tone and send the message of support for guiding them toward a better decision. Actions. Teach your child positive behaviors. Each time your child misbehaves, ask yourself what positive behavior you need to teach and practice that can replace the inappropriate behavior. At a calm time, ask, what helps you feel better when you're sad, mad, or hurt? Share ideas like taking deep breaths, drinking water, taking a walk, or asking for a hug. Teach positive ways to ask for attention. It's easy to get into the habit of pointing out what children are not doing right. When children are misbehaving to get attention, they have not yet learned how to get attention in positive ways. Consider how your child can seek your attention in acceptable ways, then actively teach these kinds of attention-getting behaviors. Would you like your child to say politely, "Excuse me," when they need you and you're engaged in a conversation? If so, practice as a family. Do a dry run so that all are comfortable, and then reinforce that positive behavior to create more of the same. Brainstorm healthy coping strategies and make a list together to keep in an accessible location. These might include hugging a pillow, reading a favorite book, walking outside, drinking water, or listening to music. Work on your family feelings vocabulary. Children ages 5 to 10 are still learning about feelings. Notice and name feelings when a family member shows an expression to offer plenty of practice. Ask, don't tell. "Dad, you look sad. Is that right?" Being able to identify feelings is the first step in successfully managing emotions. Model assertive communication through I messages. Here's how. I feel, insert feeling word. When you, name the words or actions that upset you. Because, state the impact. Here's an example. I feel sad when you say hurtful things to your brother. It hurts his feelings. This helps you take responsibility for your feelings while avoiding blaming language like, "You did," which closes down the mind and ears of the other. It helps communicate the problem constructively. Begin to teach your child how to repair harm. When they hurt a sibling's feelings, talk to them about what they could do to help heal the relationship, such as apologizing, doing an act of kindness for the other, writing a note, drawing a picture, or offering a hug. You can gently suggest that your child apologize, but avoid forcing your child. Model repairing harm. All parents and those in a parenting role make mistakes and have moments when they wish they had parented differently. Use these moments to show your child what repairing harm looks like. Some parents and those in a parenting role may feel that apologizing to their child will compromise their authority. Instead, you are modeling how to repair relationships and build a strong connection with your child. Step 3. Practice to grow skills and develop habits. Practice can be pretend play, cooperatively completing the task together, or trying out a task with you as a coach and ready support. In the case of repairing harm, following up with your child and helping them to make things better after a poor choice has been made will offer this kind of rehearsal. Practice is necessary for children to internalize new skills. Practice makes vital new brain connections that strengthen each time your child performs a new action. Actions. Accept feelings. If you will help your child manage their biggest feelings, it is essential to acknowledge and accept their feelings, even ones you don't like. When your child is upset, consider your response. Instead of focusing on their actions or the problem, focus on their feelings first. You could say, "I hear you're upset. What can you do to help care for yourself? Would your calm down space help right now?" Then focus on teaching and practicing better behavior. Use "show me" statements with a positive tone and body language to express excitement and curiosity. When a child learns a new ability, they are eager to show it off. Give them that chance. Say, "Show me how you can heal your relationship with your sister." This practice will prepare your child to use it when they require your attention and are tempted to misbehave to meet their needs. Offer limited and authentic choices. Offering them a choice, even if small. Could you talk to her directly or write her a note? Can return a sense of control to their lives and offer valuable practice in responsible decision-making. Recognize effort using "I notice" statements like, "I notice how you went back to your sister to talk to her after you fought to improve things. That's how you heal their relationship." Practice deep breathing. Because deep breathing is such a simple way to assist your child anytime, anywhere, it's important to get plenty of practice to make it easy to use when needed. Follow through on repairing harm. When your child has caused harm, they need your guidance, encouragement, and support to repair it. They may need to hold your hand through the process, and that's okay. They are learning the invaluable skill of responsible decision-making. Step 4. Support your child's development and success. At this point, you've taught your child some new strategies and practice together. Now you can offer support when it's needed by reteaching, monitoring, coaching, and when appropriate, applying logical consequences. Parents and those in a parenting role naturally offer support when they see their child fumble with a situation in which they need help. This is no different. Actions. Ask key questions to support their skills. For example, you are going to see Julie today. How will you tell her you are sorry for your words yesterday? Promote an I can belief. Children must hear that you believe in their ability to mend their relationships. Foster friendships. Close friends can be an invaluable source of empathy and support for your child. Reserve your judgment and coach toward making amends. Stay engaged. Working together on ideas for trying out new and different coping strategies can help offer additional support and motivation for your child when tough issues arise. Apply logical consequences when needed. Logical consequences should come soon after an inappropriate behavior and need to be provided in a way that maintains a healthy relationship. Rather than punishment, a consequence is about supporting the learning process and avoiding harm. First, get your feelings in check. Not only is this good modeling, but when your feelings are in check, you can provide logical consequences that fit the behavior. Second, invite your child to discuss the expectations established in step 2. Third, consider a logical consequence of their actions as a teachable moment. Be certain to consider the following questions before making your decision. 1. What will you teach with this consequence? 2. Has a natural consequence already taken place, such as a friend turning away, a broken toy, or a failed grade? Sometimes the natural consequence is more than enough, and you don't need to impose yet another. 3. Will the logical consequence be connected to the poor choice so that you can teach cause and effect with the action? Learning to repair harm after making a poor choice takes time. Children ages 5 to 10 may need your ideas, support, and guidance many times, since each situation will be unique. That's okay. What's important is that you work to understand their feelings, teach new behaviors, and practice, all the while maintaining a healthy, supportive, loving relationship with your child. Your healthy, supportive, loving relationship with your child is most important. Step 5. Recognize efforts. No matter how old your child is, your positive reinforcement and encouragement have a significant impact. If your child is working to grow their skills, even in small ways, it will be worthwhile to recognize it. Your recognition can go a long way in promoting positive behaviors and expanding your child's confidence. Your recognition also promotes safe, secure, and nurturing relationships, a foundation for strong communication and a healthy relationship with you as they grow. There are many ways to reinforce your child's efforts. It is essential to distinguish between 3 types of reinforcement: recognition, rewards, and bribes. These 3 distinct parenting behaviors have different impacts on your child's behavior. Recognition occurs after you observe the desired behavior in your child. Noticing and naming the specific behavior you want to reinforce is key to promoting more of it. For example, you talked with your sister after you broke her toy. I love seeing that. Recognition can include nonverbal acknowledgement, such as a smile, high five, or hug. Rewards can be helpful in certain situations by providing a concrete, timely, and positive incentive for doing a good job. A reward is determined beforehand so the child knows what to expect. It stops any negotiations in the heat of the moment. A reward could be used to teach positive behavior or break a bad habit. The goal should be to help your child progress to a time when the reward will no longer be needed. If used too often, rewards can decrease a child's internal motivation. Unlike a reward, bribes aren't planned ahead of time and generally happen when a parent or someone in a parenting role is in the middle of a crisis, like an older sibling picking on their younger sibling. To avoid disaster, a parent offers to buy a sucker if the child will stop fighting and say they are sorry. While bribes can be helpful in the short term to manage stressful situations, they will not grow lasting motivation or behavior change and should be avoided. Here is a trap to avoid. It can be easy to resort to bribes when recognition and occasional rewards are underutilized. If parents or those in a parenting role frequently resort to bribes, it is likely time to revisit the five-step process. Actions. Recognize and call out when things are going well. It may seem obvious, but it's easy not to notice when everything is moving along smoothly. Noticing and naming the behavior provides the necessary reinforcement that you see and value your child's choice. For example, when children complete their homework on time, a short, specific call-out is all that's needed. I noticed you apologized to your friend on the playground. Excellent. Recognize small steps along the way. Don't wait for significant accomplishments, like the full bedtime routine going smoothly, to recognize effort. Remember that your recognition can work as a tool to promote more positive behaviors. Find small ways your child is making an effort and let them know you see them. Build celebrations into your routine. For example, after getting through your bedtime routine, snuggle and read before bed. Or in the morning, once ready for school, take a few minutes to listen to music together. In closing, engaging in these five steps is an investment that will strengthen your skills as an effective parent or someone in a parenting role on many other issues, and develop essential skills that will last a lifetime for your child. Through this tool, children can become more self-aware, deepen their social awareness, exercise their self-management skills, work on their relationship skills, and demonstrate and practice responsible decision-making. Center for Health and Safety Culture, 2024. Repairing Harm. Ages 5 to 10. Retrieved from https://www.toolsforyourchildsuccess.org. Copyright 2024 Center for Health and Safety Culture at Montana State University. This content does not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the Tools for Your Child Success communities, financial supporters, contributors, SAMHSA, or the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.